Hello and welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast. I'm Matt Harmon, joined today by Charles McDonald, who is now the senior writer at For the Win. Charles, last time we had you on, man, you know, we were forced into talking about those damn New York teams.
Yeah.
Because, but a lot has changed since then. How are you enjoying the new gig, man?
It's different. I'm not watching the Giants and Jets every week. I mean, I see this over now, but I got here like December, and it's a lot less chaotic than
my sounds like job. It.
it's very normal. You know, I work with people that I like. My co-host Stephen Ruiz. Co-worker Stephen Ruiz does a great job covering the NFL too. So it's been a great couple of months. And now that the season's over, you know, getting to free agency draft stuff. And I have a feature about a Call of Duty Warzone player coming next week. So, you know, interesting stuff.
Beautiful. Yeah. I don't know about you. I love this time of year. I don't know if I am fully ready to commit to being like more. That I enjoy the off season more than the in season. I mean, from a workload and like work life balance standpoint, I definitely enjoy the off season. But there's also part of me too that likes the content of the off season because, you know, we can kind of unfurl our minds a little bit, talk about a lot of different things. But right now, we know that as we're heading into free agency, there's an awful lot of. I'm gonna say it once, and then I'm gonna make it family friendly for the rest of the show. But there's a lot of flying around out there, man. You know, there's a lot of rumors. There's a lot of this year, I feel like, especially more than any other offseason, the possibilities of things that could happen seem endless, but it's all about kind of sifting through what's real and what's not.
Yeah, I mean, this year is like, or not this year, but like this part of the year is smokescreen season, and not just for the draft, but for free agency too, as these teams try to figure out like who they're going to target and start negotiating with agents so that they have something ready for the start of the league year. But, you know, there's a lot of crap that you're going to read throughout the offseason, and I think we're here kind of at the beginning of it now. So I'm excited to dive in and see what you think about some of these rumors. I'm dead fast in like basically all of these, so this could be stakes out.
I love it, right? And I feel like the Carson Wentz thing was the most perfect kind of introduction to the rumor BS season, because that one was so obvious that the first time that you see, there's this huge market for Carson Wentz, like multiple first round picks, that's what's going to be traded. It was so obvious. It's like, all right, that's BS. That's coming from the Eagles for sure. They're trying to drum something up that wasn't there. So I feel like that was the perfect introduction. I introduced it as such in my the first column that I'm writing on this series, just basically like rumor roundup and giving it a rating on the BS meter. We don't have to stick hard to this BS meter here, Charles, but basically it goes 1, little to no BS detected. It's a 1 out of 5 meter here. Number 2, there's some degree of BS, but, you know, it's not too significant. Number 3, all right, you're starting to push it a little. If it's a 4, that's probably BS, but there's some hints of truth detected in what you're saying. And number 5, it's Carson Wentz getting traded for 2 first-round picks. That's total BS, not going to happen. So we might throw some ratings out at these, but I basically just scanned the newswire, scanned the rumor mill, and we'll just dive right into it. But first off, before we kind of get to some of the more outlandish ones, let's talk about Big Ben real quick, because it turns out the Steelers are going to bring him back. I was totally reading into it last week that, like, oh, they really might let him go. You know, they really might just cut him, because that was kind of the tone that was coming out of the organization. Anytime you start to use the phrase "for now" at the current moment and start kind of saying, hey, Mason Rudolph played pretty well in that Browns game to end the season, that's the sort of stuff you start to kind of put out there as a team when you're ready to move on. But sounds like the Steelers are going to bring Ben back. They make that statement this week. Where are you at with this team as a whole right now?
Well, for the rumor, I'll go no BS. Like, I think he's going to be back for two reasons. One, I mean, that cap figure is astronomical for the upcoming season, $41.3 million for Big Ben, which puts him at the number one cap hit in the entire NFL for the upcoming season. And for that reason, like, who the hell else will want that? Like, based on what he did last year.
Yeah.
And really, it's for Ben at this point in his career, and especially for how he played last year, it's either Steelers or retirement. Like, I really don't think that there's any other in between for him. So I think he's going to be back. I think they're also extremely serious about trying to figure out a way to lower that cap for this year, whether it's just a straight up pay cut, or if they do something like the Saints have done with Drew Brees, where they're like, all right, well, we'll pay you, you know, X amount of dollars to not play for us, and we'll spread this out over a couple of years so we can lessen this cap, because Pittsburgh is in a little, I wouldn't say cap hell, like, they're just kind of, the budget's tight right now, and based on what Ben did last year, you just can't put that amount of capital into that production, especially in a year where the cap is going to be dropped to like $180, $185 million.
Ben kind of came out through The Athletic or whatever. He said, look, I'll play for free. You know, I just want to come back. And it, I'm sure that's his agents.
Five. That's a five.
Yeah, that's a five, right? Because then I'm sure his agents were like, wait a second. I think he'd be open to a pay cut, right? Like, because again, does he really at this point want to start his, you know, last couple of years with some other team? I doubt it. I think it's Steelers or retirement for Ben. I'm honestly surprised, you know, given the way that he was crying at the end of that Browns loss, you know, that we thought it was like him and Pouncey were a 1-2 deal there. When one retires, the other would. I'm surprised he hasn't walked away, but I guess he doesn't really want to go out like that. I'll be honest, I don't have a lot of high hopes for this team next year either way. On the Steelers note, impending free agent Juju Smith-Schuster says he wants to re-sign with the Steelers. Actually went so far as to TMZ say, like, he wants to retire there. He wants his legacy to be in Pittsburgh. My thought there is good luck, buddy. It sounds like that's sort of him trying to say, as he's on his way out the door, like, I did my best. I wanted to stay in Pittsburgh. But it sounds like, I think one of their beat writers too basically said 0% chance he's on the roster next year.
Yeah, I think Juju does want to re-sign. I mean, moving sucks. I remember when I talked to Leonard Williams after he got traded from the Jets to the Giants. I asked him, like, if he's excited about it. He's like, yeah, because I don't have to move anywhere. Like, I'm taking just a slight diversion to work, and everything's all good. And I do think that, you know, he's grown enough in this team and with this fan base. I think that coming back would be an appealing option for him. Now, I don't know if I would advise that for him, just because we all saw, like, what state Big Ben was in by the end of the season. And I think that if he wants to make some real money, like, you know, probably want to go somewhere else, because I don't know how you feel about Juju, but man, like, I would struggle being the team that ends up paying him, you know, like $16 million in free agency. Yeah. And it's just really like, he hasn't done all that much since Antonio Brown has left, and Big Ben was kind of closer to the peak of his power. So in terms of him wanting to resign, I think I'll put that at a two, because I think that he really would be interested in there. And obviously he's had success there, and the Steelers have a great history of football, but it feels a little dangerous on both sides to kind of make that long-term deal happen.
I think my point is more that I think he is trying to, like, signal to the general public, like, I want to make this happen, because he knows the team doesn't want to make this happen. Like, yeah. If they wanted to sign him to that extension, they could have done it last year, you know? They didn't do it for whatever reason. You know, I don't like to take a lot of, like, victory laps when I'm right for, you know, a player being not what people thought. But, like, but let me do it here for a second. You know, in his first two seasons, he was, like, you know, on an age-adjusted efficiency, whatever the hell, basis, one of the best receivers in the NFL from a numbers standpoint. But, man, I mean, when you watch him, he's not a guy that gets open versus man or press coverage. He's not a guy that wins on the outside. That's why they've, you know, got Chase Claypool and Deontay Johnson in there. And the fact that they keep churning these guys out, it's like, why would you pay a replaceable player that play, not even if he is a great version of that slot receiver, you can find someone to win in that position, you know, on day two, day three of the draft, whatever. Like, you can move Johnson inside more and have James Washington play outside. Like, they've got guys I think there's a 0% chance the Steelers want him back at the salary that a team like the Raiders or the Jets, a couple of teams that have been rumored to be interested in him, I think they'll be much more comfortable paying someone just to bring some legitimacy to that wide receiver room that Juju would bring, but doesn't really elevate you because he's not that number one receiver. So I expect Juju to move on. I expect the Steelers to not be a fun watch in 2021, but yeah, they got a lot of tough decisions to make, man. You know, everyone's talking about trying to get J.J. Watt there. Like, good luck, because as you mentioned, they've got a tough salary cap situation.
Yeah, and another thing with Juju is obviously, like, there's been some caveats to this production. Like, there's been injuries, and in 2019, oh my God, like the Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges show was bad. But you're talking about literally every year of his career, his yards per target has dropped. 11.6 as a rookie, which is obviously unsustainable. Mm-hmm. 8.6 in 2018, 7.9 in 2019, and 6.5 last year. Like, 6.5, like, obviously, like, a lot of that has to do with Big Ben not being able to throw the ball downfield anymore. But once you start getting 6, 7, like, around that range, you're talking about, like, running back efficiency in terms of yards per target. And that's, like, you can't really throw big money at that. So I am fascinated to see what he ends up getting in free agency, just because it just doesn't seem like a sound investment that team should be making. But just given his age, he might get the money he's looking for.
Yeah, I think, again, if you're trying to bring some just legitimacy to your room, there's a temptation to it. I would love to see him in a spot where he is a clear-cut number two option in a passing game. Like, you know, you could look at a team like Washington that has a guy in Terry McLaurin. I think Washington could look at a guy like Juju or Corey Davis or Will Fuller, guys who I think are mostly for sure number two receivers. But, you know, they have a number one there. So I think that's kind of what the market that, like, if you want Juju to succeed in his next spot, I think that's the type of team you want him to go to. But I think any hope that he's a potential number one receiver is basically, like, unfounded completely at this point, because you basically got passed up by everybody on the depth chart last year. But it is what it is. Let's move on to one that's kind of a two-parter here. NFL Network's Mike Silver reports that teams believe any deal for Russell Wilson would start with 3 first round picks. Now, this is like a double combo, like I said, because one, how much of where on the BS meter is it that for you that Russell Wilson is actually in trade talks? And two, what do you think would it would cost to get him?
5 on the Russell Wilson in trade talks. Like, dude, what's Seattle going to do? And obviously, and also, like, with that question, like, why would they be trying to blow this up now? That's just kind of odd to me. And, like, at the start of the season, Russell Wilson was on like a historic pace with the deep ball. So I don't know why they would be wanting to get rid of him outside of, like, the comments he made. But that would seem like a really petty reason to move on from Russell Wilson. So I'm going to put a 5 that he will get traded. I think it's going to be Seattle lifer. I have no reason to think otherwise yet. But on the fact that it would start with, like, 3 first round picks, that's a 1, like, putting on a 0.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to talk about Deshaun Watson getting traded for 3 first round picks, Russell Wilson's in that same stratosphere. And the only reason it's 3 first round picks is because that's the max that teams could trade in, you know, the current window of drafted trading. So if he could do more, like, I'm sure some teams would be thinking about 4 or something like that. So I don't think that he's going to get traded. I think that would be a really rash move by Seattle. He's obviously got insane chemistry with DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. And it's not like Russ had his warts by the end of the season, and that maybe the offensive coordinator switch will change that up for them. But it's just hard to think that you can get rid of a quarterback of this talent who's, like, still got a couple prime years left. And theoretically, like, Seattle can still compete for a Super Bowl based on what they have on offense and a couple pieces on defense. This seems like 5 in terms of that he's on the trade market.
It would seem awful petty for Russ, too, to, like, demand a trade, you know, at this point. Like, I guess he and Shoddy were tighter than some folks on the outside, like, necessarily would believe. So he's kind of miffed about that. He's miffed about the fact that he gets hit too much. You know, those comments were out there, but I kind of think some of that is his fault, you know, like, yeah. There's definitely, I think at some point, we have to come to a collective agreement about Russell Wilson, that he's a great player. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, but he probably contributes, to some of the, some of the problems that have like persisted throughout the Russell Wilson era in his time with the Seahawks, right? Like, number one, certainly gets hit too much. I think he brings some of that on himself, even though the offensive lines have generally been terrible. And two, you know, he's never been great at working the middle of the field. And that might be, I hate to be quarterback-itis, but like, that might be because he's short, you know, like it might be because of that. So I think that they can do a lot to make Russ's life easier for sure. And I actually think like bringing over an offensive mind from the Rams is probably the best move for that. They can give him a ton of layups in this version of the offense that he definitely did not have and was not afforded under Schottenheimer's scheme.
Yep. I'm interested to see what they do with the rest of the offseason, because it seemed like Pete kind of wanted to get back to running the ball a little bit more, which may not be a bad thing, but if you're going to do that, I think you got to do some work on the offensive line and running back. But, you know, Russell Wilson,
Chris Carson's not a free agent anywhere.
Yeah. Yep. It's going to be a weird offseason for Seattle, but I don't think that Russell Wilson being traded is a part of that.
Yeah, I think it's a fun thing to discuss. That's a like a five on the BS meter. I tend to just completely disregard it as like a potential solution out there for teams. Marcus Mariota, though, that is a guy that sounds like he could be on the move. Am I stupid for being like mildly intrigued with the Marcus Mariota thing? Because he has that great game. Look, I'll tell you what. I hated the Marcus Mariota offenses in Tennessee. Like, literally, those were soul-sucking to watch, you know, because it was the thing that wrangles me the most about quarterback play is when guys are boring and they're conservative, you know, and despite having the physical talent. I think Mariota has that ability, but for whatever reason, he just ran those really boring offenses in Tennessee. However, comes out in his one game with the Raiders in relief of Derek Carr, when it looked like, by the way, Derek Carr was going to, you know, just be washed off the face of the planet for a while, but he comes out slinging. For teams that don't win the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes, that don't draft a quarterback in the first round, I feel like Mariota, like the fact that he could end up snagging a starting job, whether it's in a team like Washington and New England were two that's been discussed, I feel like that's actually a pretty viable option. I gave that I gave that like a two on the BS scale.
Yeah, I mean I'm honestly intrigued too, because I think the thing with Marcus is that we've all known, like, if he could just be healthy, like, he could be a pretty good quarterback, but it's like his body has just fallen apart over the past few years, whether it's elbow, lower extremity injuries. He just hasn't really been able to stay healthy. But that one game, the one game, I guess the Chargers this year, like, it kind of gave you a glimpse of like what Mariota kind of looked like his first and second years in the NFL. You know, decides to throw in the ball. The zone read stuff was just killing the Chargers, which, like, I don't know how you're just so shocked for that. Like, obviously, maybe you don't practice it every single day, but you got to know if they're going to put him in the game. Like, they're going to pull some of that stuff. And he was just killing it with them. And I just thought that he looked good. He looked healthy. And that's, I guess, where you got to start with Marcus. And I think that an intriguing situation for him, like, obviously, like, Washington is one. And, you know, other teams around the league. But the Jets, like, if they, you know, swung a pick over to the Raiders for Marcus and then still take quarterback at two, like, you've really upgraded your quarterback room from where you were last year with Sam Darnold and Joe Flacco.
Yeah, right.
So I know. And he was the best quarterback on the Jets last year too, which is just another hilarious fact. But you know, for Mariota snagging a starting job via trade, I think that's like a two. Because one, like, I don't really see why the Raiders, if they're not sold on him staying as a starting quarterback, why would you pay him whatever he's going to get paid for this year? Because I want to say it's around like $10 million.
It's like 10 mil, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a lot for a backup quarterback. So I think you got to move on just financially, even though he's obviously just a fantastic backup quarterback to have. Whether he gets, I'm not really concerned about if he gets traded. I'm more concerned about, like, if he gets into a situation where he's actually competing for, like, a long-term starting job, which I don't really think we know yet. But just the fact that he gets traded, I'll put that in, too.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it seems untenable to have Carr and Mariota in the same room, especially because, well, there's a couple different reasons. You mentioned it financially, right? Like, it's not tenable for them to carry both of these guys. The Raiders actually aren't that well off from a cap situation. I think they're over the cap by just a little bit right now, but, like, they've got to get under, you know. It's going to be tight for everybody this year. And they need to make some moves on the defensive side of the ball because that defense is, like, still laughably bad. They are not even close to figuring it out during Gruden's tenure, so they need to move on from Mariota. So I think that's like a lock that he either ends up getting traded or he ends up getting cut. And I do think there's going to be a temptation for teams to look at that and be like, look, we can wait the Raiders out on this one, and you know, maybe a team flies in with a day three pick late on in the process because you know they don't want to get involved in a bidding war there. I'm personally going to be wish casting almost any above average quarterback to Washington this offseason purely out of selfishness because I want Terry McLaurin to play with a guy who's above average, for God's sakes. Like, I'm not trying to have I now all these years later, after being captivated by Allen Robinson, I'm now just at a point where maybe he's going to get himself an above average quarterback. Maybe. Even average. I mean, hell, we could even be looking at average. I don't know. I'm not trying to go through the same experience with Terry McLaurin. So I'm going to be wish casting everyone to Washington. Mariota could definitely be an option there. Another, while we're talking about how smart I am, another one of my guys, Chris Godwin.
I was about to say, you nailed this one.
Yeah, another one of my guys, Chris Godwin. He was on the Pat McAfee show recently talking about how he's kind of, you know, he wants to get paid, he wants to get his long-term deal, he wants to stay in Tampa, but he's kind of sounds a little iffy on the franchise tag. This is another one where I'm like, buddy, they're probably going to tag you. I think 31 teams, if Chris Godwin was on the market, should think about it because he's that type of player from a wide receiver standpoint, but he's also just like a badass blocker. Like, I would love to see him in Baltimore. You know, I think he'd be a perfect fit there. Everyone would hate it from a fantasy perspective because he wouldn't get the same type of targets, whatever. You know, everyone would come in with the Lamar can't throw jokes. But I think he would be a perfect fit from a pass and run perspective in Baltimore. But probably I'm going to say Chris Godwin being iffy about the tag. That's a 5 out of 5 on the BS meter. I think he's going to end up signing that franchise tender.
Yeah, I think that he's going to end up signing it. But just in terms of him being iffy about the idea of it, I'll put that at a 0. I mean, this guy, he's about to turn 25 in a couple days. He already has a Pro Bowl. He's got a Super Bowl ring. Like, dude,
all pro. He's an all pro in 2018.
Dude, run me my money now. Like, this is not going to be a obviously the Bucks have the control here because they can slap you with the tag. But if I'm him, like, I'm doing everything I can to try to get a long term deal out of this because at his age, you know, if he keeps putting up these numbers and playing well, like if he plays all 16 games last year, he probably clears the 1,000 yard mark, and he was a big key for them in the Green Bay game to advance to the Super Bowl. Like, if he keeps picking up this pace, there's a chance that he can get 2 long-term deals in a career, which is obviously, like, extremely hard to do. But with the start he's gotten off to at his age, like, it's feasible for him. And if you're Chris Godwin, you want to get started on that sooner rather than later. But if they tag him, I don't really envision this being a scenario where he just sits out. Like, I think if they tag him, I wouldn't even be surprised if that's just to buy them more time. On long-term deal, because they have to figure out, you know, a couple free agents are expiring, like most teams this year. Like, maybe they're a little bit up against the cap just because it dropped so much. But if he gets a tag, I think he's going to sign it, and I would be shocked if he's not a Buccaneer this year, just because, you know, even last year in the way that their passing offense was scaled back, he was still a major part of that offense with Tom Brady. So They're going to need his talents if they want to repeat as Super Bowl champions, but Chris has definitely got to be hoping for that long term deal to come through at some point. But in terms of him, like, not signing the franchise tag, if they offer it, I'll put that at a 5. He's going to be in Tampa Bay next year. Whether he's secured through, you know, the upcoming season still has to be answered.
Yeah, a couple things that you brought up, like, it's easy to make the parallel to him and Robinson because they're both Penn State receivers. They're both studs. But like Robinson had that same thing where the first contract he signed with the Bears was when he was around Godwin's age, and now he's 27, about to potentially hit the open market again. It is that like double dip before you're 30, sign two big fat contracts. That's what everybody wants, right? And in terms of the Bucks, they are interesting because they've got a lot of guys, you know, available, like coming up this year. Obviously, you've got sort of the Ndamukong Suhs, the Antonio Browns, the Leonard Fournette, those guys, the Gronks, those guys that came to the team this year. But Shaq Barrett's a free agent. Lavonte David, like those are guys that they might think like maybe we tag one of them instead of Godwin. I don't know. I think there's a small chance that he's not with the Bucks next year, but I would put it very unlikely. I did appreciate, I listened to the interview that he had on McAfee's show. I did appreciate how he's like, yeah, if I go somewhere else next year, I'm probably getting that number 12 back. Let me tell you what.
Like, you got to it up to Brady, but once you get that back, he's good enough that he can kind of get that back if he wants to.
I'd like to see that. Not really. I don't love the number 14. Not a very aesthetically pleasing jersey number. Even though like Diggs has 14, a lot of receivers I like have 14. But whatever it is, that's a whole other podcast. Next one. The Athletic's Shiel Kapadia believes Aaron Jones could get $15 million a year in free agency. I'm going to put that at a 4 out of 5, but the next part of it, there's another rumor out there that the Miami Herald's Barry Jackson reports there's mutual interest between the Dolphins and Aaron Jones. That part of it, I put it a 1 out of 5. Like, that makes a lot of sense, that pairing, but $15 million a year with running, it's always dicey when it comes to running backs because, you know, Charles, they're obviously not people, so.
Yeah, that's right. they don't deserve to have rights, they don't deserve to eat, you know, all that good stuff.
Yeah, we'll see if we let them vote, much less, you know, whether we give them $15 million bucks a year.
The running back suffrage movement is coming, and Aaron Jones might be a leader. Look, in terms of him getting $15 million, I think I'll put that at a 3, like kind of verging on it, but like... Starting to push it. There are teams that will still pay. I don't know if the Packers are going to be that team, but, you know, it's just such a tough ask. Like $15 million on an average basis, the only people that are making that number are Ezekiel Elliott, Alvin Kamara, and Christian McCaffrey, and I think the Cowboys are at a point where they wish they could redo that one.
Yeah.
Because he just kind of hasn't done much. But, like, Derrick Henry is at, what, $12.5 million?
$12.5, yep.
That's kind of where you got to start, I think, if you're Aaron Jones. Of course he wants the $15 million, but I just kind of find it hard to believe with everything that we keep knowing about running backs, like, he's going to get that money. And it's tough, man, like, because like he should ask for $15 million and like he should be pushing for all that he can. It's not his fault that coronavirus happened and pooped on the cap space and that he plays running back. People don't want to pay running backs. It's just a tough sell based on everything that we know about the position and how easy it can be to replace like high tier talent. I do think he's one of the best running backs in the league, but in terms of Miami being interested, oh, that's a 1. Like, They should be all over this. They just really didn't have much of a ground game last year. And to be honest with you, I forgot who their two running backs were over the course of the season last year. So Aaron Jones, like, he should be in the running for them. And I wouldn't be surprised if he eventually gets, like, a hefty, hefty contract from them. But getting up to $15 million per, that's tough to do, even with a team that's still flexible at cap like the Dolphins.
Yeah, the two running backs for the Dolphins were Salvan Ahmed and Miles Gaskin. I have to know that because I do fantasy work, so I got to know every running back that breathes because they all get hurt and they all play at some point. So they actually put some decent production together. Listen, I know your boy over here started Salvan Ahmed in a couple of fantasy leagues here and there, and he actually put up a couple of good games. So like that would show that I think they have the right ecosystem to bring in, you know, an Aaron Jones type who, from a resume perspective, averaged 1,500 yards from scrimmage the last 2 years, 30 total touchdowns the last 2 years. Like he's put up the numbers to command that $15 million per year salary. It is just going to be tough when a team looks at, you know, Derrick Henry, who I think Derrick could have pushed for $15 million. You know, he could have, like, really played hardball with the Titans, but probably was just like, I mean, for one, Derrick Henry, total gem, nicest player in the NFL. I always say it, the coolest one out there. He's just like, he probably just accepts like, this is the ecosystem, this is what it is, this is the best place for me to be. And I think that marriage between Jones and the Dolphins could come to that, right? Because it's they're kind of one of the few teams, the Miami Dolphins, that have the luxury of a little extra cap space, a lot of extra cap space. You know, they're still up there as one of the most cap heavy teams in the NFL, and a need at the running back position. I mean, when you look at the teams that have the most cap space right now, it's like the Jaguars, the Jets, the Patriots, the Colts, Washington, you know, maybe the Patriots. Like, I actually thought about that today too. Like, what if the Patriots add Aaron Jones, you know, because they want to run the ball. They want to establish the run. But, like, God almighty, they have, like, a terrible running back depth chart. You know, are we doing the Rex Burkhead experience for the 100th year in a row? I'd really rather not. So, I don't know. I do think, though, that it makes perfect sense for Jones and the Dolphins to find their way to each other.
Yeah, and I hope Jones gets his money. I just don't think that that's going to be an easy task for him.
No, it is not. And by the way, yeah, it's definitely not. Like, one thing I will say is like a -5 on the BS meter is that if Aaron Jones wants $15 million per year, he's played his last down for the Green Bay Packers. Oh, yeah. You know, yeah.
That's done. That's done.
Yeah, that's,
if he wants
that's
$15 million, it's over.
It's over. You know, that'll AJ Dillon and those big ass thighs will be rumbling through the Green Bay snow next year. And I'm actually excited about that. I don't know where you're at. Like, the AJ Dillon pick was terrible because of just the context of, like, what they probably needed to do. I guess not at this point, right? They had a great season. I think you could still argue it probably wasn't the best draft pick, but I am personally excited to see A.J. Dillon play for the Green Bay Packers next year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's an absolute tank. I mean, I still enjoy that style of running backs. I mean, guys who are just going to run you the hell over. So I'm excited to see what that looks like, especially with the passing game that the Packers should continue to have. Like, I'm real intrigued by A.J. Dillon kind of getting the lead role there, because I wasn't a big fan of his coming out of Boston College. I was like, come on, man, like, it's not 1983. Like, what kind of pick is this? But he's a beast, man. Like, he was dragging dudes in those playoff games, like, the close of the season. I'm more willing to, you know, be receptive to this than I was when the pick was made.
Yeah, I'm ready to go way aggressive on AJ Dillon in fantasy next year. I'm already willing to just, like, stamp that pick. Like, I'm going to overdraft the hell out of him and be super wrong about that. But it's going to be a fun one to watch for sure. This next one, I got some thoughts on this, right? Apparently, Kenny Golladay, he might be a franchise tag. Number, let's take this in two parts again. He might be a franchise tag option. That makes total sense. But the Lions might also tag and trade him. And if so, they want a second round pick for Kenny Golladay. Am I stupid? For what? Number one, I believe all that is like 1 out of 5 on the BS meter. I think he would be available for trade, even if that's kind of a dumb idea. I also think that they might tag him too. I wouldn't be surprised if they don't. I could go either way on that. But am I stupid for thinking, if I'm a team that's in a contending window and I need a vertical wide receiver, I might think about flipping a second round pick for Kenny Golladay, even though obviously you got to pay him really soon because he's a free agent, and you can do the 1 year thing with him, but still, I threw that out on Twitter the other night, and I knew it was a good question, because I got, you know, a mix of absolutely 100% you do that deal, and no, stupidest trade in the whole world. I'm like, all right, that's when you know you've got a good mix, when some folks are like, yeah, good idea, and, you know, at Pats, Sox, Celtics fan tells you, no, idiot, you know, it's a good mix of folks there.
Yeah, I mean, I would be fine doing that. Like, if my team needed a receiver and we were like on the cusp of being like a real deal offense, I would be all about trading a second round pick for Kenny Golladay. I mean, he was banged up last year, but when he was in, he was balling last year. I thought he played really well for the very limited game action that he gave them. And
that game against your Falcons, sorry, but, you know, every single catch was like the most outstanding catch you've ever seen. Like, could have been a whole highlight reel for the entire season.
Yeah, that game was an absolute embarrassment, especially at the end. But that's not new for the Falcons either. I just, like, I just can't. I guess where I go with the Lions is when I think about their offseason is like, oh my God, Jared Goff is like set up to fail because Kenny Golladay is a free agent. And I think that is very reasonable to trade him. Just like if you're going to go all in on this rebuild, what do you really need Kenny Golladay for to sit around and you know, waste away on these losing teams about to come up? Like I would, if I'm really serious about this and just based on the Jared Goff trade and the compensation that they got, it seems like they are pretty serious about just kind of blowing this thing up and starting over. I don't think you have huge use for Kenny Golladay's, and I think it's just kind of the right thing to let him go. I obviously, you know, these entities, billion-dollar entities, are not always going to do the right thing or look out in the best interest of the players, but it just kind of seems like the rest of this Kenny Golladay Lions marriage, as we see for the foreseeable future, is just going to be a waste of time. So just kind of move on, see if you can get a second round pick for him. And like I said, like if I'm obviously, I don't think they would trade him to a division rival, but like if I'm the Packers, like I would flip
yeah.
pick for him for sure. It's going to be a little bit tough because like we talked about a lot in this pod, like there's not a whole lot of cap space going around this year, but there's still teams like, you know, the Raiders that could make a move, maybe even the Dolphins trying to get into this sweepstakes, but the Colts, right? If they want to give Carson Wentz a real chance with some legit weapons. But I 100% believe that like the upcoming years of this Lions regime is about to be a total rebuild, which what do you need Kenny Golladay, who's like going to be 30 by the time you really start getting competitive? That just seems like kind of a waste of his career.
Yeah. Like in a theoretical world where they hang on to Kenny Golladay, I actually think Jared Goff, you know, I mean, he's going to have no time to do it probably behind what's a, you know, declining offensive line. So maybe none of this matters, but Goff does have a decent arm. Like he can whip that thing downfield a little bit when the structure is right. The structure is probably never going to be right in Detroit. So what's the point? I think this is all very possible. And I definitely think it's a good idea if some team wants to get involved. Maybe even like, I know I keep wish casting. This is another thing I keep doing is like wish casting Allen Robinson to the Chargers because they actually have, you know, $23 million in cap space. They definitely have to look at their offensive line for sure. But man, they would look like someone that in the Mike Williams role, that's like a souped up version of that, Allen Robinson or a Kenny Golladay. That could actually be pretty fun for the LA Chargers with Justin Herbert coming into his second season. So probably not going to happen, but definitely something to, to think about. Next one here. Speaking Wednesday, 49ers general manager John Lynch said, "I really believe Jimmy Garoppolo will be the team's starting quarterback in 2021. I'm going like all the way on, like I'm coming back from 1 to 5. So maybe I settle somewhere on 3 with this one because I feel like John Lynch might want to believe it. But I still feel like Kyle Shanahan at some point is like, how can I get Deshaun Watson to San Francisco? How can I get anyone other than this guy here in San Francisco?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go. I'm like in between a 2 and a 3 on this because like if I just don't understand, like if you're the 49ers, what do you have to gain from keep like doing this?
Yeah,
because either he's going to be hurt. And I know you got to the Super Bowl that 1 year, but like that was like low-key like an all-time good defense that you guys had, and that's really tough to replicate as we've seen. And like even they were hurt last year, Saleh did a good job of the defense, and that's why he kind of got the Jets job. But still, like you're just kind of pilling around in mediocrity for no reason. So if you're the 49ers, like you have options. I mean, one, Jimmy Garoppolo's contract is pretty easy to get out of, and I think that was smart contract constructing by John Lynch in the front office when they made that deal happen. So like if you want to move on, you definitely can. And two, like they're picking 12th in the draft. Like theoretically, like if you want to make a move and go up and get somebody, you don't have to jump like too high to get there. Like
yeah,
maybe you want to get to 4 where Atlanta's picking and say, hey, you got your running back one more time, Matt Ryan, and we'll go up there. We'll get Justin Fields or whoever the Jets don't pick. Or if you want to make that trip, Miami or Cincinnati, like teams that have a quarterback for the upcoming season, like that, they should be in talks with those people. But it's also kind of tough because like the main options that you will want if you're the 49ers, like one of them's gone with Matt Stafford to the Rams. And if you're going to make the trade for Deshaun Watson, personally, I would have no problem putting together any pack of trades that you're talking about to make that thing happen. But, you know, I can see like a spot where even the 49ers are a little bit timid to make that move happen, because it's just, it's a lot to give up. I mean, we were talked about before, you're starting at 3 first round picks and probably another, you know, solid starter on your team, whether that's like a Fred Warner. I don't think you have to give up Nick Bosa, but it's like, you're going to have to give up a player that hurts to lose in that transaction. So that can be tough to pull the trigger on if you're a front office, but I just don't understand. Like, if you are John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, what are you hoping for with Jimmy Garoppolo coming back? Like, you've kind of seen the best of his abilities as a full-time starter. And yeah, they got you to the Super Bowl, but I don't think that anyone would say that he was the engine for making that happen. So it's a sticky situation at the end, which is why I kind of keep getting stuck with between, and like, you know, when I think about this on my own, like, I'm with you, like, I'm all over the place. Like, there's days where I think like, yeah, I guess they're just going to bring him back. And then other days I'm like, really, you're going to run it back with Jimmy G? Like, because I kind of think that as good of a coach that I think Kyle Shanahan is, and obviously like being a Falcons fan, I think he's a tremendous coach. You know, the clock's ticking on this thing a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. Because you can't just keep running it back over and over and over again, and you keep trying to get the same results with Jimmy G. And I guess if they're really just not about trading these assets to go get a quarterback, then sure. But I guess, like, to kind of cop out, I'll go with a 3 on the Jimmy Garoppolo.
I think it's starting to push it, exactly like you said, because it's what are you expecting here? We've seen, like, the absolute peak outcome of this is we've already seen it. And how repeatable is that? I don't think it's very repeatable. Let me tell you what, though. I saw a few folks, you know, would they give up someone like Nick Bosa in addition to all these draft picks? Kyle Shanahan would 1,000% send Nick Bosa out the frickin' door if he could get Deshaun Watson in the building. I 100% believe that, like, no one is touchable, because they have, I think, the best by far infrastructure of offensive pieces around the quarterback during the Kyle Shanahan era. I love Brandon Ayuk. Samuel's great when he plays in the particular role that he's in. Obviously, George Kittle is like an all-time talent at tight end. If they bring back Trent Williams at left tackle, they've got a decent line there. Like, that's a really nice setup if you just drop like a high end or even, you know, well above average quarterback there. I think they could really be flying from an offensive perspective, but I don't know. Like you said, they might be kind of tempted to just sit on their hands, but like, clock's ticking. I totally agree with exactly what you said. Let's move on to these last two ones here. I will admit, Charles, I am not even close to, you know, in depth on these draft prospects, but this one certainly caught my attention. Matt Miller of the Draft Scout reported Wednesday that one NFL team has BYU. This is last Wednesday, not the Wednesday we're recording this on. Quarterback Zach Wilson ahead of Trevor Lawrence on its board. Eric Galco of Optimum Scouting, shout out to Eric Galco, used to sign the checks way back in the day. Went a step further, saying that multiple teams have Wilson ahead of Lawrence as the top quarterback on the board. I mean, teams are stupid enough, right? But I'm still going to go 5 on the BS meter on this one.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'll go. The only thing preventing me from going 5 is that I know some teams are absolutely stupid enough to do this.
Yeah, right.
So I'll go 4 on the BS ladder. But dude, I mean, Galco doesn't care. Like, I talked to him about this. Like, bro, are you crazy? Because he said that Wilson's better than Lawrence too, and I've watched a fair amount of both guys, and I just don't see, like, how you can come to that conclusion. It's like, what, 3 years of elite production from Trevor Lawrence in the ACC, won a national title. Like, dude, we were all talking just 3 years ago about, or not even maybe not even 3 full years ago, about how incredible it was for him to just destroy Alabama on national stage. Destroyed them. And now we're going to say some, you know, one-year wonder from BYU who made up their own schedule this year, doesn't play football, didn't play a single Power 5 school, I don't think, this year. Or maybe they played USC. But come on, man. Like, I just don't get what you're watching that could lead you to that conclusion. Not to just make this a damn draft take, hot take pod, but I don't see anything that Zach Wilson does better than Trevor Lawrence. And that's not even like a real slight on Zach Wilson's game, because
it's not that bad, right? Because Trevor Lawrence is that good. And it's not as if Trevor Lawrence is, freaking like Sam Bradford out there just putting up big time numbers and stuff. Your colleague, Stephen Ruiz, I was seeing, right, because I'm just on Twitter like an idiot all the time. I saw he tweeted out like a great clip of him making like an unbelievable throw to buy time with a long developing route. He even invoked the Mahomes-ish, like not copping to Mahomes, but it's like a Mahomes thing for him to do. Lawrence has that wow, ability to him. Like, he's not just a Tom Brady efficient compiler type of quarterback. He has that athleticism to him to be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. And like you said, we've been saying this for like 3 years.
Right. And all of a sudden now it's going to change because Zach Wilson came on the scene. Like, why are we not asking questions about where was this Zach Wilson in 2019? Like, he's here and he's going to be great. Okay, that's fine. And to be fair, like, I think Zach is a great prospect, but he's not Trevor Lawrence, man. And I feel like, you've been following drafts on Twitter for like forever, like we both have.
Too long.
way too long. You know, people get bored of these guys that are in the limelight for multiple years at a time. Yeah. I even remember that, like, this is before I got on Twitter, but I remember watching like ESPN back when Andrew Luck was in the draft, and they're, breaking down his faults like the nitty gritty. I'm like, man, like, this guy was going to be the number one pick to the Panthers if he came out the year before. So, like, I don't really understand what has changed. And he still put up big numbers. And, like, we're in the same spot with Trevor Lawrence. And I am not willing to listen to anyone that has Zach Wilson over him. I'm sure that their team is on it. And I know that Galco has it because I think I called him a clickbaiter over the phone. Trevor's quarterback one, plain and simple. Yeah. And maybe you can have a discussion about Wilson and Fields. I still lean Fields there, but like, that's a more reasonable discussion than anyone in Lawrence.
Yeah, at the end of the day, some teams might have Wilson ahead of Lawrence, but the Jacksonville Jaguars do not. So none of this really matters. He'll go number one overall in the draft, and that's that. Last thing before we get you out of here, and this is kind of a two-parter here, multiple-parter actually, because Panthers owner David Tepper is, quote, obsessed with finding the team's long-term quarterback. I think we're both going to agree that's a 1 out of 5. Like,
yep.
I don't think he's desperate, which leads to the next part. But, man, I have never seen a team publicly signal – like the Panthers have publicly signaled, like, please don't let us go into 2021 with Teddy Bridgewater as our starting quarterback, which, what did you think was going to happen with Teddy Bridgewater? Like, this was the Teddy Bridgewater experience. And I get that obviously they eventually figured they'd draft a young guy at some point, but they were all in on the Matthew Stafford trade. But the reason I say they're not desperate is because they were apparently not even involved at all in the Carson Wentz discussion. So it's not like any available quarterback will do, but what do you think about the Panthers potentially flinging a big offer at the Texans for Deshaun Watson? I mean, you and I have both agreed with the Deshaun Watson situation on Twitter that it's like, if you did this to, like, if Madden did this to you, you send like a notification out on Madden, like, oh, sorry, your team has chosen its pastor over the franchise quarterback. You'd quit. You'd throw your whole console out the window. Like, this is beyond parody what's going on in Houston. But if he was to get traded, like, there's been some offers floated around that the Panthers could make, like Teddy Bridgewater, Robbie Anderson, Chris McCaffrey, Brian Burns. Burns is a tough one to part with. All these first round picks, like, I think the Panthers are going to be involved in basically every quarterback discussion from here on out.
Yeah. Obviously Tepper is very clearly obsessed with finding teams long-term quarterback. And like you said, like, what did you think you were getting yourself into with this Teddy Bridgewater stuff? Because it's not like, like, Teddy Bridgewater to the Panthers was always kind of a weird fit for me, because I never really thought that Teddy, especially post-injury, that he's going to be this guy that, like, elevates what you're doing out there. But he's also, like, not bad enough to be, like, where the Jaguars or Jets were last season. Like, he did have a couple of good games last season where, you know, you're getting the ball out on time and you're executing the offense basically to the highest of his capabilities a few times last season, which is kind of like the Teddy Bridgewater experience at this point. You know, pretty mediocre, but a few flashes of greatness, and then the bottom falls out, and those are the really, really bad games. But it just kind of felt like, for a team that was going to be rebuilding for a long time and going through, like, pretty much not just, like, a coaching staff, like, facelift, but, like, an entire organizational facelift, why get yourself stuck with this Teddy Bridgewater crap? And good for Teddy for securing the bag and tricking the Panthers and all that wonderful stuff that I love to see during free agency. I mean, they've been in on the Stafford trade. They were in a little bit on the Wentz trade. They're going to be in on Deshaun Watson's sweepstakes, if that really ever gets off the ground. So it's a one on them being obsessed with the long-term quarterback, but Matt Jones, like,
yeah, this, let's end on this one. This was, that's tough,
dude. Yeah. So I remember,
for clarity's sake, for the listeners who have a life and didn't see this, Mac Jones, University of Alabama, Mike Tannenbaum, former GM of your New York Jets. He said that his floor is the eighth overall pick to the Carolina Panthers. That would be, let me tell you what, that would be tough for Panthers fans out there to go through this whole offseason, like, wow, we offered the eighth overall pick for Stafford. They were so in on the Watson talk. Like, you know, Ian Rapoport keeps hammering that they're a possible suitor. Watson apparently is okay with the trade to the Panthers, and then you end up with Mac Jones at eight overall.
Yeah. I know my co-worker Stephen Ruiz is a Panthers fan. He said that between Cam leaving and Mac Jones, that would probably be it for him as a Panthers fan. And I can't
good imagine idea.
That he's the only one that feels that way. I mean, here it's two things with Mac Jones. And one is, come on. Like, it's just, like, if you watch him play last year, obviously the numbers are great. He's a fantastic college quarterback, but in the context of, like, translating what he did last year to the NFL, it's just, it's so vanilla. It's nothing. And I know that, you know, they have a former offensive coordinator, NFL offensive coordinator, Steve Sarkisian, who's with the Falcons, but I honestly think that Steve just kind of looked at it and was like, yo, all of my players are better than the players that I'm playing against, so I'm going to make this as easy as possible outside of, like, a couple plays a game where I'm going to run some trick plays or some wheel routes or whatever. I mean, the offense is like, we're going to run the ball with Najee Harris behind our five-star offensive line, and we're going to run a lot of RPOs and slants and get the ball into the hands of Devonta Smith, who won the Heisman Trophy, and Jalen Waddle. And, like, there has to be a baseline level of talent to be able to execute that to the efficiency that he did, but it's not a skill set that he has that makes you excited about taking him top 10 overall. Like, if I'm a team that's thinking about taking Mac Jones in the first round, like, what are you hoping that this turns out to be? Mac, like, Andy Dalton, 2015, where everything is, like, on fire around him, and you put up an efficient season. That's like the first point I have about Mac Jones. Like, this, from a skill set standpoint, this makes no sense, and the ceiling is not really that high. But also, if Tua can go five, and Mac Jones, like, in Tua, they kind of did, like, the same exact thing at Alabama. Why not Mac Jones go top 10? And that's the scary part.
Did you see Devonta Smith? They asked him, like, who's better. I think they asked him who's better, Jalen Hurts or Tua. And he was like, Mac Jones.
Yeah.
Better than both of them. That's tough look for Dolphins fans and Tua right there.
It sucks because, like, Tua, weirdly, he, like, kind of got worse throughout the year with going last year. Yeah. Like, by the end of the year, you know, you benched twice for Patrick, and the thing that Mac Jones makes me think about, it's not really anything to do with Mac. It's more like, well, what about our evaluation to Tua? Because he was able to step in there and do the same exact thing, actually get a little bit better numbers. My buddy Seth Gleaner, who works over Pro Football Focus, thinks that Mac actually played better than Tua this past year. But what does that make us think about Tua's evaluation of someone like Mac Jones, who really no one thinks is all that talented, can come in and just blaze college football on fire and put up like a season that's comparable to what LSU did in 2019. Like, that's what makes me think a little bit. Like, what does this say about what Tua's prospects are for the NFL if someone like Mac Jones can come in and do the same exact thing?
No, I feel the same way. That's definitely a good point. I'll just say this about the Panthers and Mac Jones. If they want to move on from Teddy Bridgewater because of physical limitations, apparently that's the talk. Number one, again, what the hell did you think was going to happen? Number right. two, I don't think you want to move on then to Mac Jones. So I'm hoping for all my Panthers fans out there, all my friends and family, that this is a 5 out of 5, but we shall see. Charles, you said it all. You've done it all. Tell the people out there where they can find you and what you're working on right now.
So you can find me on Twitter at @4verts. Me and my coworker Stephen Ruiz, we talked about a few times throughout the podcast. We're honestly just trying to figure out like how we want to tackle this free agency and draft stuff. Like, it's so different than usual because there's no combine this year, and I think even the date for the clearance for the draft has been pushed back a little bit too. Like, it's just weird offseason. So we're figuring that out, but you can catch us on The Counter, which is a podcast we do with our editor, Chris Corman. It's a lot of fun. You should check it out, and hopefully we can get you on there at some point before the draft. I'm going to coerce you into doing that now that we have that on recording. This week I'm taking like my first swing outside of football. I'm interviewing this dude named Swag, which is like, I feel like it's very appropriate for me, like my first like non-football feature. Like, I'm going to write this Warzone player named Swag. But nice. I was watching one of his streams a couple weeks ago. I was doing work on like a Saturday night, and while he's playing, like, Odell Beckham hits him up like, yo, let's play. I'm like, what's going on here? And then Kyler Murray later in the stream hit him up like, yo, let's play. And like, I was like, who is this kid? So I started looking more into it, and actually got really intrigued by his journey. So I'm talking to him sometime this weekend, and then hopefully I'll have that out next week. So that's what I'm working on.
Love it. All right. Well, you can lock me in for that that podcast appearance anytime you want. I'm excited. There's going to be a lot of wide receivers to talk about in the draft. There's going to be a lot of wide receivers to talk about. A lot of stuff going on, man. So anytime. Charles, thank you so much. Everyone out there, make sure to follow him. Check out his work and believe everything we've said about all these rumors, because there's no way any of our predictions will be incorrect. We were right about everything. You can verify that and take it to the bank. In the meantime, while you're waiting for all those predictions to come true, check out all of our great podcasts offering here at Yahoo Sports. Check out the Yahoo Sports College Podcast with Dan Wetzel, Pete Thamel, and our friend Pat Forty from SI. And post it up with Chris Haynes to talk all things NBA. Follow us on Twitter at Yahoo Fantasy. I'm at @MattHarmon_BYB, and Charles is at @4verts. We'll be back next week, but until then, we are out.